you might have had a time when you ask your child, who you know is fully capable of dealing with this request, you ask them to do something, a chore, and they say, I don't want to, or I don't have to. We've had this occur with our kids, everything from small, little clear the table to do your homework. I remember one time one of my kids was in like sixth or seventh grade. I said, you've got to do this homework. And these eyes come looking at me saying, no, I don't. I thought, oh, they're right. They don't have to do the homework. I mean, so parenting can present such wonderful opportunities to stimulate your prayer life and to learn how to be more like Jesus. That's why we're here today. That's what this podcast is all about. And I'm being sort of serious about that. We want to take the high road in our parenting, and that's why we're talking to Dr. Danny Huerta today. He heads up our parenting team. They're guides. They're trusted guides in this journey. Danny, because you're one of those trusted guys, it means you never had any sort of issue with your kids and chores or responsibility.
No, it never happens in the Huerta home.
So this is absolutely a friend.
It's a friend. It's a friend out there. It's absolutely. I mean, the reality is healthy conflict is so helpful for the home. And here's where healthy conflict can come in. Your child refuses to do something. And I've had that where I remember Alex telling me, no, I really don't want to do that. It wasn't in defiance. He didn't want to do it.
He was just being honest.
And I said, well, you need to do it. This is something that you're going to have to do now. And we're going to be here together while you get this done.
Did you ever have to play the nuclear option card? That's where, like, you'll do it because the consequences are so out of the realm of equivalent.
Yeah,
I'm going to disincentivize you.
And John, I wouldn't. Whenever I work with a family with a strong-willed child, I have full compassion. I've seen that. We have not had that in our home. We've had kids that have been pretty loving and compliant that way. Their personality is not a firm, strong leader type personality. Neither one. My daughter has hints of that, but not to the extent that some families need to deal with. And when you have a leader child say, no, absolutely not, and you have the stubbornness, that is a tough intersection for parents. And it doesn't always end very well because they're triggering back and forth. And I think the ones that what's been helpful for us are the resets that we've had to put along the way, where we've had to say, hey, you know, that was not a good response. It wasn't a healthy response for what we're trying to do. The house is ours. It's not just your mom and I's house. It's our house. We need to maintain this together. And when there's disobedience or you're saying no, we have to deal with that because that's a heart thing. The rest of the thing is behavior and all that, but I need to figure out the heart. What, are we disconnected? What's going on between us where you would say no to something that I've asked you to do or have reminded you to get done? Mm-hmm. And relationship is key to being able to navigate these things well. And if you're stuck with a strong-willed child, that's a different story.
That's a different podcast, because today we're going to hear from Kay Wima, and she's a mom talking about some of the more normal times in parenting as she's had to work through responsibility and no with her own kids. Here's Kay talking with Jim Daly.
Let's go back to that question, though, of good enough. I mean, when you have a child, let's say they're capable, 12, 13, and they're missing a lot of that accuracy. Cleaning the bathroom, for example, I want to use that one. Everything's clean but the sink and maybe the toilet. And you're going, okay, this has to get done. And they don't like doing it. They don't like mopping. They don't like whatever. How do you move them from that mediocrity to something that's a little better, something that they are able to do? Like you said, maybe not a child that is unable to do that for whatever reason. But you know this child is capable of it, and they're just choosing not to do it.
Yeah.
How do you move that 13-year-old, 14-year-old?
Of course, you go to the 13 and 14.
Yeah, well, that's
true, and you know they're not. And I think a big part of it is putting on these non-listening ears. Sweet Jody Capehart, who I know you guys know, she's so sweet. And I asked her one time, how do you do this stuff? And because they push back with the most ridiculous reasons. I don't know how to.
Yes.
And it's like, everyone here knows that you know how to.
I don't know how to wipe a counter, Mom.
I know. And you're thinking, and they say it repeatedly, mm-hmm. because as if repeating it actually makes it true,
kind of your clue as a parent that maybe that's not true.
I know. And it's sort of like as if on cue. And you think, are we going to going to do this again?
Yeah.
And she said to me, don't engage. Don't get in the middle of that stuff. Say it and walk away. And she's like, I'm not saying not to love your child, but I'm saying let that stuff bounce off and roll like Teflon. Yeah. Like, don't listen to it and just say, yes, you do. Do it. Do it. Do it. And if it's not done, and it depends on the kid. You know, you can throw in, if it's not done by this time, sorry, you lose this privilege or whatever system you have in your house that are rewards or consequences, what means something to them individually, there's your card. And stay the course, you know, in a loving way. They're kids, and these teenagers, God bless them.
Well, I was going to ask you that because I think the next obvious question is toughness. Because a lot of parents in the Christian community particularly, we don't see that as an attribute, a fruit of the Spirit. Be tough with your kids when they don't do their chores. It's just not listed there. And so where do we find that ability as a parent to be a little tough on our kids? That's what you're talking about.
I think it is. I think you have to throw prayer in there. And because I think in this effort, it really could become about performance, which is something that we all would probably do best to avoid. And so how do you make them go through these, do these things in your home that you would like for them to do for their sake? And bring alongside with it all the others for their sakes. And there's one who certainly knows the heart and mind of each one of those children. And it's like a lot of prayer goes into that. Where do I push? Where do I pull? Please let me not make it about performance, because I could have it be about the clean bathroom. What's going on in this day? Why are they pushing back like this? Is it teenage, whatever that is, you know, where it's not all firing correctly? And if it is, give them a break. You are loved. You know, it's one of those fine lines.
You talk about a story with your son pumping gas, which I thought about that the other day. Yeah. My two boys are capable of that, but I rarely have them get out of the car.
Yeah, and it's changing so much a tire faster. Too. You know, there's things.
But talk about the story of pumping gas. What was that about?
Well, why would you pick that one?
Because it embarrasses us.
It was such an embarrassing day.
And so many moms are going to relate to
this. Oh, my goodness. That morning was one of those, you know, how you have the classics where everything is going wrong. And we couldn't find anything walking out of the house. I may not have found my clothes that morning. And I could have been doing what I often do, possibly driving the carpool in my pajamas. And then I get in the car and it's on E, like the orange E that had been on
the
there for a while,
on.
Which you all may not do that.
No, we do that.
I've decided it's how a mom lives on the edge. You know, how long can you go on
Will
E?
Will I really run out of
We pull up at the gas station, and I'm like, get out of the car and pump the gas. He's sitting there going, I can't get out of the car and pump the gas. I'm like, yes, you can get out of the car. And by this point, you know, he's complaining, opening the door, I can't pump the gas. And
he's so never pumped the gas before, maybe?
I don't think at that point he had pumped the gas, but he was
so
doing
He was accurate.
But he could. I know he can. I mean, how hard is it? You put the card in and then you pull it out. Well, we had to go through this exercise with me in my pajamas yelling out the crack in the window. And by this time, everyone at the gas station is watching us. I mean, it was horrifying. And he puts the card in, pulls the card out. You know, he's like, putting the card in. And I'm like, stop doing it with the card. It won't work, you know? And so, I mean, it was a traumatic experience for literally everyone involved. I'm so glad I thought that one I might have seen on the evening news. You know, they do have cameras out there. But at the end of the day, he did pump the gas. It's not that hard, right? But the pushback is almost always there. Does it ever end?
Okay, so Danny, that story of Kay talking about pumping gas, I recently saw a sign that said you got to be 18 to pump the gas. Maybe this was just a random rule at one place in particular. But I thought, well, that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, I've never seen
if
that.
You're going to be unattended, mm-hmm. you better be an adult doing this because there are adult consequences if you spill gas, regardless of all that. That's my firstborn. I got stuck on that issue. I'm sure that people resonated with this whole scenario. So talk to the parent who's thinking, I tried everything I could think of and it didn't work.
Mm. Yeah, I think in those cases, there's something else behind that. Is there a relationship issue? Are there any consequences that you've built in where you're stopping a certain behavior and creating a new one? So consequence and punishment has its day in the sun, right, for a moment where you stop a behavior, but you want to create a new one. Many times as parents, we stop there. We have a consequence or we have a threat. And then that's it. That's our method. There's a consequence, and then there's an opportunity to teach the next step. So, for instance, I had a parent come in with a son that had just a tremendous attitude towards his parents. He didn't want to do anything they told him to do. And they were frustrated. They had tried everything. They said, hey, can you help us with our son? He is just very defiant with us. He won't help out in the house. And there was hurt that he was carrying into those other interactions and was trying to get back at them. It was a revenge. And he was a very motivated kid. It was just a different type of motivation. Yeah. And they would say, oh, he's unmotivated. When really he is, we need to repair the relationship first. So pay attention as to whether or not that's the cause of this. The other thing is maybe you can create a celebration as a family and as a group, say, hey, this is our goal to maintain these things. We're doing our jobs. Let's have a marble jar or a jar filled with paper clips where we're keeping track of us all contributing. And at the end of that, we want everyone to contribute to a really good way to celebrate what we've done. We've talked about it here in this podcast before, ways to celebrate and creating that rhythm. And you do get most personality kids getting into that rhythm. And again, a strong-willed child, sometimes you need to get some help and find a counselor to help you get unstuck if they're unmotivated.
So have the conversation, celebrate the wins where you can, and pray. Well, for more insights, stop by our website. We have a really rich website full of terrific resources. One in particular ties right into what we've heard today from Kay Wima. It's Cleaning House, a Mom's 12-Month Experiment to Rid Her Home of Youth Entitlement. It's a terrific book. We've got it here at the ministry. Donate and support the work of Focus on the Family today. Help us help parents worldwide. And when you make a one-time gift, or preferably a monthly pledge of any amount, $5, $10, $15 a month, we'll say thanks for being a part of the team by sending a copy of that book to you. All the details are in the show notes. And while you're in the notes, be sure to look for one of a number of free articles that we have for you. It's called Teaching Kids Life Skills. And plan to join us next time as we hear from Allison Botke. She'll be talking about trusting God even when your child is struggling. On behalf of Danny Huerta and the entire team, thanks for joining us today. I'm John Fuller, and this has been the Focus on the Family Parenting Podcast.
It can be challenging to inspire your community to see life the way God sees it. So what's the solution? Well, on June 15th, Focus on the Family is hosting Sea Life 24. And no matter where you are or who you are, you can be a part of this free event with speakers like Ben and Kirsten Watson and real stories about choosing life. Sea Life 24 will inspire you to translate your faith into action. Register today at sealife24.org.